I call this the 3 second rule. If they have to think more than 3 seconds whether it's appropriate, it's not. And they have to think more than 3 seconds whether this is something they're willing to take collateral damage for, then it's not. Because if you're stepping into some of these social media outlets for a social cause, you're not going to please everybody. So you got to understand what's the upside, what's the downside. And at the core is at the heart of everyone at the business.
It's one small step for man.
Liftoff. We
choose to go to the moon, not because they are easy, but because they are
hard. I have a dream.
You can't handle the truth.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Super
you.
Welcome back to the Super You Podcast, the podcast designed to unlock and unleash your superpower. I'm Jake with Inkleman Studios. We cover a lot in this episode. Eric Qualman discusses digital leadership, digital stamps, how to be flawsome, and socialnomics. Don't forget to leave a rating and a review. This not only helps others discover the podcast, it also helps us out. Let us know what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, so that we can make this the best possible podcast that it can be. So here we go. Enjoy today's episode of the Super You Podcast.
So Eric, thanks for being with us. I'd like to start at the heart of what this podcast is about, which is defining the role that business plays in social movements. So what do you think? What is the relationship between private enterprise and what could be perceived as public discontent?
Well, in my book, What Happens in Vegas Stays on YouTube, we actually go into kind of tinderbox topics. So I think it's great when companies need to take a stand when it's appropriate for them to do so. So when I say appropriate, if they have to think more than 3 seconds, whether it's appropriate, and I call this the 3 second rule, if they have to think more than 3 seconds, whether it's appropriate, it's not. And they have to think more than 3 seconds, whether this is something they're willing to take collateral damage for, then it's not. Because if you're stepping into some of these social media outlets for a social cause, you're not going to please everybody. So you got to understand what's the upside, what's the downside. And at the core is at the heart of everyone at the business. And you can see kind of people that execute on it well. If you look at, say, Dove, they do a lot of campaigns around women's bodies in terms of just making sure that they have that empowerment, in terms of that they can feel comfortable in their body, and that relates to their brand. So for example, they did a deal with Vidyo to where they had women from 18 to 80 draw a picture of themselves. Then they had other people draw pictures of them. And it's interesting because most of the time, the picture that the other people drew of them was much prettier or much more optimistic than how that person perceived themselves. And so if you get the chance, go check out some of the campaigns that they do, because it's really heartwarming and it's really important, some of the social injustice in some instances that they're tackling, whether it's Dove, whether it's Coca-Cola, whether it's Nike with the National Football League. It's really, are you willing to take that step? Look at Chick-fil-A. It's interesting. If you look at Chick-fil-A, they're not open on Sundays in the United States, which is crazy from a business standpoint. But guess what? They actually crush all other quick service companies, even McDonald's, in terms of the revenue that they achieve.
Yeah, definitely. I know Dove has definitely been a leader in movement marketing. I hadn't heard of Chick-fil-A though. I'm gonna check it out. So you literally wrote the book on digital leadership. Can you explain a little bit about what that means? What you're referring to with digital leadership?
So digital leadership, basically at the simplest level, is attacking assumptions. So looking at what people think is known and doing the opposite. Or if you think about it metaphorically, it's taking a magnifying glass and flipping that magnifying glass. So you're looking the opposite direction that most people are looking. So for example, for the book, as you just mentioned, we talk about the book Digital Leader. When I sat down with Tony Hsieh, he's the CEO and founder of Zappos, which is great, right? It's taking the word for Spanish, the Spanish word for shoes, mm-hmm. and doing a little adjustment to it. And Zappos, as many of your listeners might know, sold eventually to Amazon for $1 billion.
Right.
And he's still the CEO. But he thinks differently, not only from the concept itself of selling shoes online, which people recall was crazy. People thought it was insane that people would sell shoes online because they thought you had to go and try them on. But as he starts to launch the company, what most companies do from a customer service standpoint, if you have a call center, is they're measuring stuff like, how do we make this call shorter? Because it costs money to have that call rep take that call.
Right.
And so they're actually, in his mind, as a digital leader, looking at exactly the wrong thing. And so he flipped that whole model on its head and said, no. We're not tracking the shortness of the call. We're tracking how engaged and did we help that person. So if we need to be on that call for an hour, that rep needs to be on the call for an hour. And specifically, what he also did was he took money out of marketing. So he took $40 million roughly out of marketing and put it into customer service because he knew that in a social nomic world, it's really about that word of mouth mm-hmm. on digital steroids, or that word of mouth goes the world of mouth. And so when he takes that $40 million and gives it in the customer service center, what that allows for is that rep can solve issues for anything under $100 or less. So that customer service rep is now empowered for anything $100 or less to actually make the decision just to solve that issue with the customer. And so what happened is the net promoter score, and that's a score that a lot of companies use to judge their customer service levels. Right. They achieved some of the highest customer service level scores within the net promoter score of any company out there by doing the exact opposite of what every company does. They said, stay on that call as long as possible. It'll cost us money in the short term. That's why we're going to move it from marketing into customer service. But it's going to gain us customers in the long term because in a social nomic world, it's all about that word of mouth on digital steroids, or that word of mouth goes to world of mouth, that your customer becomes your best marketer, your best salesperson. And that's the major difference with all of these social media outlets, is that the customer has so much power today.
Yeah, that really seems to be a recurring theme from a lot of different sources in the business world, especially in the last 5 years or so.
Yeah, no, it's good. I think the great ones are starting to understand that. They're taking the lead from digital leaders like a Tony Hsieh and starting to remodel how they do business. Definitely. Whether it's a nonprofit or whether it's a for-profit business, it doesn't matter.
Definitely. And I wanted to get your definition also. When we're thinking about the digital footprint of a business, what does that refer to?
Yeah, it's interesting. The thing that gets me most excited is not the footprint itself, but actually the digital stamp. So each company has a digital stamp. Each individual within that company has a stamp. If they have kids, they have a stamp. And a digital stamp's comprised of what you just mentioned, the digital footprint plus the digital shadow. And so you got to think of your digital stamp as your reputation, and more your reputation de facto is your online reputation. It is these digital stamps. So it's your digital footprint, which your digital footprint is anything that you upload about your customer. I mean, anything that you upload about your company or yourself as an individual. But as we're speaking specifically about corporations and businesses, it's anything that that company posts. So you have somewhat control over that. But the more important piece of that digital stamp is actually that digital shadow. That is what other people post about you online. And a lot of the formation of that is actually these online ratings and reviews. But again, the shadow encompasses a lot of things, but it's what other people are posting about you. And so it's actually more important than the digital footprint. But collectively, the footprint plus the shadow equals your digital stamp. So as companies or even as individuals, it's about producing our best digital stamp and then also protecting it. And it's interesting, 92% of kids under the age of 2 already have a digital stamp today. 25% of babies that will be born tomorrow already have a digital stamp today. So whether you're an individual or whether you're a corporation, it's really about producing and protecting your best digital stamp.
Wow, I hadn't thought of the baby perspective, but you're totally right.
Yeah, parents get super excited. They post sonograms. I don't know, have no idea how to say that in Spanish, but they produce sonograms, they post names, they get excited, and they post this stuff online so that 25% of babies born tomorrow already have a digital stamp today.
Wow, mind blowing. So following the same line, thinking specifically about the case of Chile, since October has been going through a period of social unrest that hasn't really been seen since the 1970s when the dictatorship happened. Thinking about that context, a lot of the institutions here recently have been very publicly questioned, particularly in the digital realm, both private and public. A lot of them are working now to try to climb out of the hole of negative perception and publicity, particularly online. So thinking from the digital perspective, what can a company that currently has a negative digital shadow, let's say, what can they do to improve that situation and increase their commitment to society when they're working against something that is negative?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. First of all, you've got to do some introspection. Look at all the negative stuff that's out there and the stuff that is actually true, which a lot of it is true. Where did you make a mistake as a company or a corporation? And identify those points and try to learn from it. But basically taking umbrage or taking kind of advantage of the English language with the word awesome, it's really about being flawsome. How to be as flawsome as possible. And what that means is that people don't love us because we're awesome. They love us because we're perfectly flawed. Meaning they don't love us because we're perfect. They love us because we're perfectly flawed, whether that's an individual or whether that's a company. Specifically to your question, what can we do? It's going out there, being flawsome means here's where we made a mistake. Here's what we're going to do to fix it. And then follow through and actually fix it. So that's your first step in terms of cleaning up your digital stamp. Your second step is then to become 100% fully transparent. Obviously, if you're in the government, you have some secret issues in terms of security, national security. You might not be 100% transparent, but for most of us, it's just getting to that 100% transparency. And so that means is that that's going to tell your audience more and more about you, especially through your digital footprint. So the more you can post about what you're doing, then that starts to lessen the percentage of the negative aspects that are out there so that that just becomes part of your story. So whether you're a corporation, whether you're an individual, you're going to have some warts. So it's just about making sure that people understand, okay, they've made mistakes, but that's only 10% of their story. Because you've proactively taken your personal brand, which is just a fancy term for your reputation, or you've taken your company's digital stamp and started to actively manage it, so you're posting out there as much as possible about what you're doing, your digital footprint, then the negative aspects are just part of your story. They're not your entire story.
Awesome. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So in Socialnomics, you point out that business people need to engage with social media actively or risk failure. In an age in which much of social movements is carried out via social media, what does that engagement look like on a corporate level and also on the level of individual business leaders?
Yeah, no, this is a great question. And Malcolm Gladwell and I went back and forth a little bit on this because he'd written pretty, not a hot take, but he just wanted to push the needle saying that you can't create social movements through social media. That you actually have to physically get in the street. You physically have to get involved. You can't just be lazy on your couch and post socially. Where my take is, just like everything in life, it's a balance. These digital tools play a massive role, but they don't play the only role. That you do have to get off your sofa. You do have to get out there and be active. Whether you're in a company or whether you're an individual, if that movement matters to you, it's about being active both digitally and obviously face-to-face. It's about Flintstones and Jetsons in this Jetsons era. So it's those that act like the Flintstones and the Jetsons that will win no matter what endeavor you undertake. And so it's really about understanding that balance between the two. It's not an or thing, it's an and thing, that they both work hand in glove.
Awesome. And so when you're dealing with the social movement as a business, does it mean the presence of that social movement, does it mean that that business needs to change the way it interacts digitally with its consumers?
It can. Again, this stuff gets complex quickly. And so if you think about some of the activity that's occurring in China, and the folks at Apple, the folks at Google, the folks at Facebook have to make hard decisions. They go, do we take a social stand, or do we kind of still do business the way that China is mandating we do business? And so these questions get complex quickly. And so it's really about understanding, especially if you're a publicly traded company, you're beholden to your shareholders. And so a lot of that comes down to those decisions that happen in that boardroom. But at the end of the day, most of these leaders that run these companies, they have to face the mirror and just ask themselves, when I'm faced with a difficult decision, what can I live with down the road? And so if we look at, I was fortunate to share the stage with the director of the FBI, Director Comey, when he was debating what to do with the emails with Hillary Clinton. And so he had to address these 3,500 FBI agents, and obviously the world as well, the United States and the world, said, look, the election's coming up. I've got this information about these emails with Hillary Clinton. If I disclose them, it looks like I'm messing with the election, that I'm trying to change maybe the election outcome. Whether that's true or not, it's going to be perceived that way. Or I cannot release it. And then if Hillary Clinton wins and it's found out, which it will be found out because we live in a post-privacy world, again, what happens in Vegas stays on YouTube, then they're going to look like I hid evidence, and that actually can be a crime. But whether it's a crime or not, what Comey decided was, I can live with disclosing this information and people saying that I messed with the election. What I can't live with is people thinking that I hid information.
Right.
And so I was in a damned if I do, damned if I don't situation, but I had to make a decision that I think was best for the FBI. And that came down to, what can I live with 20 years from now?
Right. Seems like quite a bit comes down to that.
No, whatever, it's a tough decision. You got to almost think 20 years out. What can I live with? How will this impact 20 years out?
Exactly. So there have been quite a few companies that have been criticized for not changing the way that they're interacting digitally with their consumers, or rather, you know, they're continuing with the same advertising that they would have done 6 months ago. They're continuing to push sales. Do you think in that kind of context that there are definite changes that need to happen, or that every company needs to decide what best reflects their values?
That's what I love about social media, is that it actually forces you as a company to become very focused on what it is you stand for, not only from a product or service perspective, but also from a value perspective. And so it really, even though you should have always done this, you didn't have to do it. Now in a fully transparent world, if you're playing in the social media realm, which you have to, then it forces you to really refine exactly, I call it the why, but I call it the WHI. So W meaning, what's the mission of the company? The H, how do we differ from the competition? And then this I really matters to Generation Z and also millennials. And it will matter to Generation Alpha as well. So millennials, Generation Z, and Generation Alpha. The I is, if we went away tomorrow, what's the loss to society? And so it's really important for companies to understand those three questions, and that everyone inside that organization, whether you have 5 employees or whether you have 50,000 employees, understand the answer to those three questions. W, what's the mission? H, how do we differ from the competition? I, if we went away tomorrow, what's the loss to society? Now, interesting enough, whenever I'm brought into a large corporation and we say we even film it or walk around, I normally just walk around and ask people these questions. I'll randomly grab people from different floors and different departments and I'll ask them those questions. Ironically enough, only 9% of companies actually get those answers correct. meaning that everyone's not on the same page with those very three simple questions. But as we continue to move in this digital decade, it's imperative that every company and every employee within that company are able to succinctly answer those three questions, the WHI, the why.
Awesome. So a lot of your identity as a leader comes from the overlap between the professional realm and the realm of personal values. I've seen that you do a lot of volunteer work, and that's reflected obviously in your personal brand. The link between values and brand for companies, though, is not always obvious, and some might question whether it exists for some enterprises. What do you think? Like, can a company exist without a purpose that considers its larger role in the world around them?
That's a good question. I don't think there's an easy answer to that. My short answer, the hot take, would be no. That people that buy from you, especially millennials and Generation Z, want to know, what do you stand for? A good example is I'm in Austin right now, and so Blake McCloskey from Austin, he flies down to Argentina for just a regular trip, and he sees all the kids there. Some of them are dying just because they don't have shoes. And so he comes back to the United States and he goes, I need to do something about this. And he starts Tom's Shoes. And so then you buy a pair of shoes, and then he gives a pair of shoes away to the kids down in South America, originally starting specifically in Argentina. And away we go. So you're going to see a lot more companies like a Tom's Shoes that tie all those pieces together. Primarily one, because it's just in the DNA and values of the company from the beginning. And then the hope is they can retain those values, especially as they go public. Easier said than done. But most importantly is that people want a story. They want to know, where is this originating from? Who's making this? How are they being treated? And so it's a much different world than even 20 years ago, the one we live in. So the short answer is, I don't think that a company can exist without understanding the values for themselves, but also those values need to closely correlate with their customer and their clients.
Awesome. So we've talked about a lot of things. What's most important? So if listeners walk away from this podcast and they don't remember anything else, what should they take away?
You should always take away, start with the end in mind. As we step into this digital decade, it's not going to get any easier. If anything, it's going to get much, much more complex. So when the noise starts getting big, when things are starting to pull you in every direction, start with the end in mind. Because whether you're a nonprofit, whether you're for profit, whether you're a Fortune 5000, whether you're a Fortune 50 company, you've got to start with the end in mind. And that end is that smile that you're creating through your service, through your product, through your nonprofit. At the end, it will lead to a smile to that customer or to that person that you're helping. Because if it doesn't lead to a smile, you're not going to be in business very long, no matter what you do, whether that's B2C, B2B, whether that's nonprofit. So when things get complex, start with the end in mind. What's going to create that smile at the end of the line? Like we like to say at our animation company, is it's all about have fun and help people. It's as simple as that. Have fun, help people.
That's awesome. Super insightful. Eric, I also understand that you're writing a book. Is that true?
It is true. It's kind of an anti-venom to Socialnomics. So Socialnomics was my first book, which is going on a decade. We've done three revisions. But Socialnomics was really telling people, look, social media is coming. It's not just for teenagers. And at the time, people were like, what are you doing? Like, why would you use social media for government? Or why would you use it for politics or for business? It's just for teenagers. I go, no, this you're going to see soon. It's going to tackle the world and change the way we communicate. And so what happened is that people have gone too far into their mobile devices, too far into their phones, and they're not living their best life. And so what I wanted to do was a focus project. How do we focus in an unfocused world? So I took a year to prep, and I took a year for each month, so 12 months, I focused on one specific thing. And so the new book will be out in 2 to 3 months, and it's called The Focus Project, The Not-So-Simple Art of Doing Less, How to Focus in an Unfocused World. So I'm super excited about it. It really helped me in my journey. I test things that work and what don't work. And so my hope is it's very helpful for those out there. I've already been talking about it on stage. And it's been really well received.
Awesome. I can't wait to read it. And you've got a podcast also?
We do. We have the Super You podcast. It's a podcast designed to unlock and unleash your inner superpower. So we give tips and tricks from some of the top performers around the world. And we also sit down with thought leaders and just figure out what makes them tick. So it helps unlock the superhero in all of us. And it's Super You with the letter U, like university.
Awesome. And that can be found on iTunes.
It's on Apple iTunes and also on Spotify.
Great. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Eric. This was really insightful.
No, it's an honor. And gracias, saludos, and abrazos.
Para ti también.
So thanks again for listening to today's Super You podcast. Again, it's a podcast designed to unlock and unleash your inner superpower. And if you want to pay it forward, make sure you go post a review for the Super You podcast, because what that will do, it'll allow others that aren't familiar with our podcast to discover it. And hopefully that allows them to unlock and unleash their inner superpower. So that's it for today's show. I'm your host, Equal Man, reminding all of us, it's not what we take from the world, it is what we leave behind.
7 6 5 4 3 2 1
Super, super, super,
super, super you.